Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a quick digest of compelling legal issues and practical insights delivered to you in less than 20 minutes.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this Ogletree Deacons Podcast. My name is Joe Beachboard, and I'm a shareholder in the Los Angeles office. And here with me today is Mr. Charles Thompson. Charles is a shareholder in our San Francisco office and a co-chair of the firm's Leave of Absence Practice Group. Welcome, Charles.
Hey, thanks, Joe.
The coronavirus has created some unique challenges for employers across the country, and nowhere more so than here in the great state of California. This has raised many, many questions for the business community. And last week, in an attempt to answer many of those, Ogletree Deacons held several seminars specifically addressing California workplace issues, given the developments associated with the coronavirus. Those programs drew thousands of attendees, many of whom had questions beyond those that we were able to answer during the time allotted. We have collected those questions and are going to focus this podcast on getting you answers for the most common of those. And Charles, you're going to be our expert for this. Are you ready?
I am ready. I'm on lockdown, but I am ready.
Yes, as are we all, I suppose. Let me just, before we jump into those, Charles, let me just ask you, a broader question. And both of you and of us have been doing this for a long time, in excess of 30 years. And have you seen anything like this in the past in terms of its impact on the workplace or the thirst for knowledge that it's created among the employer community?
No, I haven't. This is unique. I mean, I've never been in lockdown before. I've never had so many employers contact us about, you know, what are we going to do with our workforce, about vacations, about sick leave. It's unprecedented, and I hope not to run into this again, frankly.
Yeah, I echo that for sure. I think the closest I can think of is 2001, where we had a stock market crash early in the year, and of course, 9/11, and then shortly thereafter, followed by the anthrax scare. That was a frightening time. This is a frightening time as well. But let's see if we can give some advice to the folks who have joined us here today. Charles, one of the first issues that people confronted was the California executive order and some of these local shelter in place orders. And that has generated a lot of questions for employers, and none, I think, perhaps greater than, do these orders constitute a quarantine or isolation for purposes of the Families First Coronavirus Response Act?
Joe, that's a great question and one we've given a lot of thought about. Let me back up and let's explain to the listener what it is that we're talking about. Under the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, an employee can get emergency paid sick leave if the employee meets one of six different eligibility criteria. One of those eligibility criteria is if the employee is under a quarantine or isolation order related to COVID-19. So, as you know, California, the entire state of California, is under a shelter-in-place order or a stay-at-home order. And in addition, various states and various counties and cities also have issued their own shelter-in-place order. And so the question is, do those orders qualify as a quarantine or isolation orders for purposes of emergency paid sick leave? Now, when the emergency paid sick leave, the statute first came out, many of us thought, well, of course, the executive order and all these county orders fall under that criteria. And then we got to thinking about it and ultimately concluded, no, they don't. Instead, the quarantine or isolation order has to be directed at a particular, you know, at a specific employee. It can't be just a geographic area. Well, the Department of Labor just yesterday, April 1st, 2020, decided the debate. And so yesterday, in its temporary rule, stated that the state executive orders, you know, that executive orders, state executive orders, or county or city shelter in place orders can qualify under the emergency paid sick leave. Okay. So does that mean everybody in California now gets emergency paid sick leave under the Families First Coronavirus Response Act? The answer is no. Okay. So the Department of Labor also said in its temporary guidelines or its temporary rule that you do not get emergency paid sick leave if you don't have any work to go to, even if the reason you don't have any work to go to is because of COVID-19. And this is what I mean. So let's say, for example, and this is the example the Department of Labor uses. Let's say, for example, that I work at a coffee shop, all right? And the coffee shop is closed because of COVID-19. I do not get emergency paid sick leave because the business is not open. Instead, according to the DOL, I need to apply for unemployment. So I think that the bottom line is that even though the state and county orders now qualify as quarantine or isolation orders under the statute, it doesn't mean as much as maybe some employers and employees thought it originally would.
Charles, a lot of folks are trying to determine how they staff their workplaces, assuming they can be open at all. And this has led to a lot of employers considering things like unpaid leave of absence due to lack of work, or maybe they were calling it a furlough, or maybe they're calling it a layoff. We had a lot of questions about this as a result of the webinars, but are there legal differences between those terms for purposes of our just bigger picture discussion?
Well, we know what a termination is, right? A termination is the employment is over. Employers use layoffs in a couple of different ways. Some of them do mean, look, you've been laid off. We've eliminated your position. You know, you're separated from employment. Others use layoff to mean, well, you know, your position's been eliminated, but we expect to recall you. And generally, that's the same. They when they say furlough, what I've run into is that most employers believe furlough is, look, it's kind of an unpaid leave of absence. You're still an employee. We haven't separated you, and we intend to return you. We haven't seen in the statutes in California a definition of the word furlough.
So when an employer asks us, does a furlough trigger CalWARN obligations, what do you tell them?
So, Joe, when an employer asks me, does this trigger CalWARN, I think I want to know a couple of things. First of all, I want to know if the company is covered by CalWARN at all. And, you know, I want to know if they have a location where there are 75 or more employees working at that location. Let's assume there is. And then I want to know, okay, what do you mean by furlough? And now when employers talk about furloughs in this situation, usually what I hear back, the employer, we're going to lay off, then they use the word layoff, we're going to furlough or lay off some employees for, you know, we don't know, for a certain period of time. Okay. If that period of time is 10 days or more, based on the case, based on the one case out there, the one public case that interprets CalWARN, the answer is yes. So I would say that assuming they meet the other applications of WARN, the other definitions of WARN, that if there is a furlough, a layoff, not paying people, putting them on an unpaid leave of absence for at least 10 days or more, that yeah, then they do qualify as a furlough under CalWARN.
So Charles, help me understand a little bit that if CalWARN is triggered, and therefore you have the obligation to provide some notice to your employees, what does that look like? They don't have to provide the 60 days in advance, right?
No, and let's back up just a little. Maybe it would have been a good idea to actually tell people what CalWARN is. Most people or many employers are familiar with the federal WARN statute, or the federal plant closing law. CalWARN is the state equivalent of that, and there are some significant differences between the two. So the question is whether under CalWARN you have to give 60 days notice. Generally, the answer is yes. But fortunately, the governor, Governor Newsom, issued an executive order that said, because of COVID-19, if you're laying off, if you're terminating, if you're furloughing people, that you do not have to give 60 days notice, nor do you have to pay 60 days pay in lieu of that notice.
Great. Thank you. Let me just give you some quick hitters here and see if you can give us some fast answers to some questions here. Basic situation. All right. We've got an employer. They're shutting down their operations because of the issues associated with COVID-19. Do I have to pay out PTO vacation time?
The most conservative approach says yes. But again, it depends on how long the furlough is going to be. And that also assumes that the furlough or layoff is not a paid furlough or layoff. Under the law, if the furlough is going to be less than 10 days or less than a pay period or within the pay period, then the answer is no, you don't need to pay out PTO or vacation. If it's 10 days or more, again, the most conservative approach and the approach, frankly, we recommend if the employer can afford it in these situations, in the COVID-19 situation, is to pay it out. Look, ultimately, we don't know how the state is going to come out on this because these are unique circumstances, but we would advise that you should be paying out PTO/vacation if the furlough or layoff is going to last 10 days or more.
Well, so if I don't want to pay it out, can I require that my employees use their PTO time during a COVID-19 shutdown or furlough, whatever we call it?
Well, that's a good question. Let's say, for example, that the shutdown is on, and I had this week, in fact, a client shut down just for 3 days and wanted to force the manager to use her, use PTO during those 3 days. And the manager did not want to. So here's the answer to the question. An employer usually cannot force an employee to use PTO or vacation because those are considered wages under the California Labor Code, unless the written policy itself gives the employee notice that they would have to use PTO or vacation in those situations. Now, some employers are going to say, that's great. I'll go write it into my policy right now. In the absence of COVID-19, ordinarily, you would need to give approximately 90 days written notice that you were going to force employees to use PTO vacation. In this situation, because of COVID-19, we really don't know because the answer is supposed to be what's reasonable notice. And what's reasonable notice in other situations, 90 days, is not necessarily going to be reasonable in this situation.
Well, Charles, let me try another angle then. So can I tell my employees that they cannot use their PTO or vacation during our shutdown, thereby basically putting them onto an immediate furlough or an unpaid leave for which they can go collect unemployment?
Well, let's back up just a second. Let's take a situation in which it's not a furlough. All right. But let's say that I want to stay home because I'm concerned that maybe there's a risk in the workplace or something along those lines from COVID-19. I'm going to tell my employer, hey, I just want to stay home. And yeah, I'm just going to use my PTO vacation for that. And the answer is, well, no, just like any other situation, the employer has to approve you're using PTO or vacation. And that is true in these absences under COVID-19 as well.
Charles, a lot of companies right now are looking at ways to save money. And of course, compensation, salaries is a big part of a lot of companies' costs. Many employers are looking at reducing pay. Can they decrease the salary of exempt employees? And if so, how did they go about doing that?
Yes, you can reduce the salary of your exempt employees. But again, as in many situations, you have to give notice. And ordinarily, you would have to give at least 7 days notice. But once you do that, yeah, you can reduce the salary of your exempt employees. Some employers have asked, okay, let's say I want to reduce the salary and I want to reduce the number of days people work. So I only want to keep the plant open 4 days a week instead of 5 days a week, and therefore I want to reduce the compensation or the salary of my exempt managers from 100%. I want to reduce it to 80%. Can I do that without threatening their exempt status? And unbelievably, even in California, if you do that, you can do it without threatening exempt status. There are division of DLSE opinion letters to that effect. And also, it's also legal under the Fair Labor Standards Act.
You mentioned a reduction in work hours, Charles. If instead of reducing pay, we reduce work hours, can an employee qualify for unemployment benefits?
Yes. According to the Employment Development Department, and they have a webpage up specifically about this benefit and other benefits through the department, if the employer has reduced hours or shut down operations due to COVID-19, an employee can file for unemployment insurance. And that, obviously, unemployment insurance will provide partial wage replacement benefit payments to workers who lose their jobs or have their hours reduced through no part of their own. Interestingly, if your child's school is closed and you have to miss work to be there for them, you can also be eligible for unemployment insurance benefits. And again, you need to go to their website to find out more information about that.
Charles, let's conclude by talking a little bit about leaves of absence and some of the unique statutes that California has. And let me start with the California paid sick leave. Is that something that we can require employees to use as part of this pandemic?
No, you cannot. An employer cannot force an employee to use statutory paid sick leave for any reason.
What about California paid family leave? Can that be used during the pandemic?
Sure. It's available in some circumstances. And again, it's according to the Employment Development Department. If you're unable to work because you're caring for an ill or quarantined family member with COVID-19, and of course certified by a medical professional, you can file a paid family leave claim. And paid family leave provides up to 6 weeks of benefit payments to eligible workers who have a full or partial loss of wages because they need time off to care for a seriously ill family member or to bond with a new child.
Charles, what about the California Family Right Act? Does that play a role in analyzing the leave entitlement for employees in California?
It does. And the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing just issued a frequently asked question sheet called DFEH Employment Information on COVID-19. So first, obviously, the employee has to meet all the usual eligibility requirements, such as 1,250 hours within the previous 12 months. You've worked for the employer for 12 months, although they don't; those 12 months don't all have to be in a row. And you work at a location where there are 50 or more employees within a 75-mile radius. Second, though, right now, merely testing, and I don't mean merely, but testing positive for COVID-19 does not appear to be enough to trigger the statute. Instead, COVID-19 has to satisfy the definition of serious health condition. Ways that could happen is if it resulted in inpatient care or continuing treatment or supervision by a healthcare provider. COVID-19 also could qualify as a serious health condition if it leads to another condition, such as pneumonia. Now, one of the interesting things is, of course, employers generally do require medical certification of a serious health condition. But the DFEH notes that it might be difficult to obtain a medical certification or to provide advance notice of a pandemic or where the healthcare providers are working to address, you know, urgent patient needs. So DFEH asks that employers use their best judgment in these situations. Finally, Joe, even if employees are not eligible for California Family Rights Act leave, let's say they don't meet the eligibility requirements or they've exhausted their leave already, they can still be entitled to reasonable accommodation for COVID-19 reasons. So if an employee's COVID-19 condition rises to the level of a disability, unpaid leave might be a reasonable accommodation, or telecommuting could be a reasonable accommodation.
Charles, thank you for that helpful information. That's the 10 most common questions arising out of the California webinars last week. But before I let you go, Charles, I know that you've been advising clients pretty much around the clock for the last several weeks. And I just wonder if coming out of that, you have any, you know, thoughts or message or tips that you might share with, you know, employers who are in the trenches sort of dealing with this on a daily basis.
I don't know if I have any wise employment law tips. I think after a long day of answering the questions, it's just, you know, this is tough. I mean, it is tough emotionally for employers. It's tough for the employees. And it's just something we're going to have to get through. And I think we're fortunate so far that for the most part, California state government has been doing things such as like the executive order to waive the 60-day CalWARN notice requirement. I think we're fortunate that the California government is, you know, at least trying to do in some respects to make it easier on businesses.
Well, that's a hopeful thought for sure. Charles Thompson, a shareholder in Ogletree Deacon's San Francisco office. Thank you very much for your time, Charles. I suspect that this will not be the last podcast that we have addressing these California unique and special issues. And we look forward to sharing additional information with you at that time. Have a good day.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or through your favorite podcast service. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.